Empty Set Entertainment presents Slay, created by Scott Sigler and Rob Otto, performed by Scott Sigler. This story is intended for mature audiences only. Listener discretion is advised. Hello, Junkie. This episode is our first on a brand new computer. We are sunsetting my beloved iMac Pro 2017, a machine that helped us make several audiobooks and hundreds of podcasts. With all the live streaming we're doing, we're maxing out the processor, we think anyway, and had to finally bite the bullet and get a replacement. That replacement is an M2 Mac Mini. So far, so good, although since we wanted to install everything from scratch and not port old stuff over, it has been a running challenge. You never know what files or apps you're missing until you run headlong into that dreaded pop-up window, am I right? There will surely be more problems before we get it smoothed out. If you want to watch those weekly live streams, we read an episode of Slay live every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. You can watch for free at youtube.com/ScottSigler, facebook.com/ScottSigler, and twitch.tv/ScottSigler. Hope to see you there along with a whole bunch of junkies and a delightful story time hang. Let me get you caught up on the story, and then we're all going to head to Billy's old neighborhood. Previously on Slay. Shaken by Kellyus Droman's brutal killing of Thoko Chikandi, a despondent Lincoln set out in search of a drink or two at Stooley's Bar and Grill. Back in season one, Magda and Billy set up an online t-shirt store for a fictitious candy bar, PJ Fuck's Fuck Ton O' Nuts. Sales have been trickling in. The Old Stone Church's main income is the money brought in from Link guarding Delilah Droman, but it's not the only business. The quest for bounties that pay in treasure continues. And now, episode 51 of Slay. Rise and shine, handsome. Each word cut through his head like a bullet made of unbearable noise and intolerable pain. Had he been captured? Where was he? Lincoln, get up. You told me to get you up. In bed. He was in bed. Just not his bed. He opened one eye. The single overhead bulb's light shot in like a laser, burning his brain. He shut that eye tight. Come on, sleepyhead. A hand on his shoulder. You made me promise. That voice. Oh, for crying out loud. Lincoln slowly turned over, felt the smoothness of silk sheets. Felt it everywhere. Yep, he was naked. Eyelids fighting his commands, he opened both eyes to see Maylene sitting on the bed in an orange silk robe, smiling at him, a cup of steaming coffee in her hand. Oh, yeah, and her leathery black wings, slowly wavering, sending cool air against his face. Lincoln sat up, pulled purple silk sheets tight around his waist. Oh, now you're modest? Maylene laughed. You weren't modest last night, Major Sexy Time. Blazing hells, did his head hurt? That's a dumb nickname, Lincoln said. Why on earth would you call me that? Because you told me to call you that.
I did?
You did, Maylene said. It started out with Sergeant Sexy Time. Then after our second round, you wanted a promotion, so it was Captain Sexy Time. After the third round, I decided you deserved a promotion to Major. Then you demanded I address you as Major Sexy Time, Sir. Lincoln shook his head and immediately regretted it.
I would never do anything like that.
She gently grabbed his wrist, pulled it toward her, pushed the coffee mug into his hand.
I assure you, you did, Maylene said. If I forgot the sir part, you spanked me.
Lincoln covered his face with his free hand.
Ah, for fuck's sake.
And when I got it right, I spanked you. You're a fun date. And damn, that new scar still looks so sexy. Now that you've slept, want to tell me where you got it?
He needed to get the hell out of there. Staying the night? What had he been thinking?
No, I don't want to tell you about it, Lincoln said.
The thought of Teddy Two Fingers cutting him made his anger flare, which made his hangover throb more.
Well, knowing your rep, Maylene said, I'd hate to see the other guy.
The smell of coffee hit him all at once. He took a sip. Mana from heaven.
Thanks for the Java, he said. What time is it?
8:15.
The apartment's one window was blocked by heavy velvet curtains. Through the crack between them, Lincoln could see the faint glimmer of streetlight.
8:15 p.m.? What time do we go to sleep?
About 5:30.
Oh, sorry,
Maylene pursed her lips and saluted dramatically.
We were lights out at approximately 17:30 hours, Meiji sexy time, sir.
It didn't help his head that those pursed lips looked sexy as hell, especially when just the thought of jostly, bouncy, thrusty sex made him want to vomit.
17:30, he said. Judging from the sex gnome gangbang going on inside my skull, we drank all night, now it's already dark out. What am I missing? I mean, besides a few million brain cells.
We drank all day, Captain, my captain. I had the morning shift.
She put her hand on her sternum, affected a commercial announcer's voice.
Stooley's Bar, we never close.
She reached out, squeezed his thigh beneath the silk sheet.
You knocked him back like nobody's business. I bet you that you couldn't do 5 shots of Jaeger without taking a breath. You won.
He vaguely remembered the 5 shots in a row. Blackout, drunk, day drinking, with boning and spanking thrown in. If this was victory, he never wanted to win anything ever again. He'd had a solid 90 minutes of sleep. Everything a growing boy needed, right?
Why, exactly, did I tell you to wake me at 8 p.m.?
Because you told me to make sure you were up in time to go see your old man.
Ah, yes. He remembered saying that. His talk with Delilah had reminded him it had been too long since he had seen Jacoby.
Want some breakfast? Maylene asked. I can make you an egg sammy to go while you shower. You smell like you're sweating licorice.
Just how much Jaeger had he drank?
Sure, he said. Hey, how exactly did I get to your place?
We walked up 2 flights of stairs after my shift ended, Maylene said. I had to help you a bit. You were hammered.
I mean, how did I get to Stooley's?
Hell if I know, Maylene said. Uber or cab? You were already fairly lit when you walked in. You were waving your flask around, saying elves had stolen your booze.
Damn it. He remembered that, too. What was the point of being blackout drunk if you forgot the good stuff and only remembered the embarrassing stuff? An Uber or a cab? He'd have to use the same to go to Sunset House to see his father. And then, oh, blazing hells, he'd have to take a cab back to the old stone church. He'd have to make up some lie about where he'd been, or Magda would chirp at him mercilessly. Maylene slid off the bed, her wings stretching languidly. Wings or no wings, her thick black hair and her curves made Lincoln wish he could remember the night before. The kitchenette was all of 5 feet from the bed. Tiny apartment, almost too small for the bed, a couch, and a side table. A tiny apartment above a bar where he'd hooked up with the bartender. Proud moment, Lincoln. Proud moment. Maylene opened a narrow cabinet, pulled out a frying pan. She set it on the counter. The metallic noise sounded like a cannon had just gone off.
Calista's been asking about you, she said, opening a small fridge. She says she owes you one.
She sure as hell did. Lincoln had saved her life. But could she repay that debt by ignoring the payments needed to keep Sam safe on the shelf? Of course not. Like most gangsters, Calista fancied herself a business person. People in business did not let debts go.
Last time I saw the place was all beat to hell, Lincoln said.
Maylene put butter in the pan set the pan on a single hot plate burner. She fixed it all up. Place looks amazing. You should come check it out sometime with me.
Not anytime soon, that was for sure.
I'm gonna take that shower, he said.
A shower, this coffee, the egg Sammy, which Lincoln hoped he could keep down, then off to see Jacoby.
Dragging at his heels, Billy walked into the kitchen. A new table. Four new chairs. Pajama-clad Magda sitting in one, a laptop on the table in front of her, a half-eaten panini next to it. And a coffee mug. He could smell the vodka and fizzo from the door.
Hey, Lil B, Magda said. You feeling any better?
Yeah, a bit. I slept like 10 hours. That new laptop?
Magda nodded.
Last one got trashed when your dog went postal in the nave. That was old as hell anyway.
Billy realized he hadn't been on a computer in weeks. Before Joe got him tied up with Dante Oganov, Billy had lived on the old PC in his room at Grandma's. Games, social media, movie groups, science blogs, just tiny little him perched in front of that tiny little screen. Since the Nurple, though, since he'd been exposed to the underskin, other things occupied his thoughts. He was learning magic, for fuck's sake. Hell, in a way, he was made of magic.
I haven't looked at a computer since I got here, he said. Man, that is weird. It's not like I forgot that computers exist. It's just...
The thought of them hasn't crossed your mind.
Yeah, he said. That reminds me. I gotta get a new cell phone.
Just ask Ariella for one. The way Link goes through burners, I doubt she'll mind getting you a decent one.
Billy sat in the chair to Magda's right.
Seems like Ariella's spending money faster than we can make it.
He winced.
I mean, faster than Link can make it.
Magda sat up straighter. She looked nervous, unsure of herself.
I'm making a little money too.
She turned the computer toward him.
We just sold our 100th fuck ton of nuts t-shirt.
He looked at the sales page of the site he'd set up for her. Sure enough, 100 units. The readout changed. 101 units.
Nice, Billy said. Way to go, Mags.
She shrugged.
Couple of grand. It ain't all that much. Consider what Link makes for Garden Delilah.
No, it wasn't all that much, comparatively, but that wasn't what she needed to hear right now.
Yeah, but you made it, Billy said. Not Link, not Ariella.
A slow smile crept across her face, making her three scars crinkle.
We did, she said. You and I set this up.
She was right about that. Magda had bristled that her agoraphobia kept her from going out with Link, kept her, at least in her own noggin, from getting any job. Billy had helped her brainstorm PJ Fuck's chocolatier brand, set up the shirt storefront, and taught her how to sell them online without her having to actually touch a single bit of merchandise.
I helped set it up, but this is all you, Billy said. This could just be the beginning. You might sell more. We come up with another shirt. This is awesome, Mags. Did you tell Link?
Magda's smile faded. She pulled the computer back in front of her again.
Nope, she said. He didn't come home after his bodyguarding shift at Drellman's.
Didn't come home? Could he still be at the mansion, still working? You got him on that ear cuff thing?
He turns it off when he's there, Magda said. He thinks it's creepy if someone's in his head watching a 12-year-old. Gotta agree with him on that. He's not answering his cell. Ariella tried him on her sphere, no answer. Maybe he's working, maybe not.
She seemed annoyed, but calm.
Should I go out and look for him?
Magda started typing.
Not much point in it, she said. Sometimes he wants to be alone and just goes radio silent. Sometimes he crawls into a bottle and passes out somewhere.
But that's dangerous, Billy said. He's got enemies, right? Someone could take him out.
Reach into the choir, little B, Magda said. You ain't ready to go out alone. Let's not panic until he's been gone 48 hours. You want to help? Help me come up with another funny t-shirt so I can keep building my empire.
In the climate-ravaged world of 2072, the city of Pura stands as a miraculous green haven. Pura is a geoengineered paradise that protects its fortunate residents from the global catastrophes of heat domes, fires, floods, and droughts. In a time when the world outside is unsafe, it's vital for Pura's existence that people rally behind the purpose of the city, and Demetria Lopez, head of the city's public relations, tirelessly promotes its idyllic image. But when she stumbles on a dark secret that, if exposed, would be the downfall of Pura's existence, she must decide who and what she's willing to protect. From Wondery, the makers of Academy and Dr. Death, The Last City stars actors Ray Seahorn, Jeannie Tirado, and Maury Sterling. Follow The Last City on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of The Last City early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Hey, this is Scott, the author of this story. This episode is sponsored by Regal Unlimited, which is all about movies. I love movies, and you can see that in my work, from the references to films to the movie quotes I embed in my dialogue and the summer blockbustery big action sequences that close out each novel. If you like going to the theater like I do, because that's where movies are meant to be enjoyed, Regal Unlimited makes perfect sense. Regal Unlimited is the all-you-can-watch movie subscription that pays for itself in just two visits. See any standard two movie anytime with no blackout dates or restrictions. When you want to watch a movie in a premium format like 4DX, IMAX, RPX, or ScreenX, your Regal Unlimited membership gets you into those premium experiences at a reduced cost. And don't forget the snacks, man! With Regal Unlimited, you get 10% off all non-alcoholic concession items. So if you're planning to see two or more movies this month, you need to join. Remember, Regal Unlimited is the all-you-can-watch movie subscription that pays for itself in just two visits. Sign up now in the Regal app or at regmovies.com/unlimited. That's regmovies.com/unlimited. Use the code SIGLER024 and earn 10% off a three-month subscription. That's SIGLER024 to earn 10% off a three-month subscription.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch. And organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/realm.
No bike meant no hard box. No hard box meant nowhere to stash his armor and cloak. Nowhere to stash it meant Lincoln had to burn mesh to disguise both. A middle-aged couple was walking out of Sunset House as he was walking in. They saw no armor, no cloak, no haze of Cimarron. Just a man in boots, black jeans, a gray and black flannel, and a black knit cap pulled down almost to his eyebrows. Behind the receptionist counter, Lloyd Neely saw Lincoln and smiled.
"Well, hello, Mr. Franks," Lloyd said. "It's been a little while since your last visit."
It had been a lot of while, actually.
"Yeah, things have been busy," Lincoln said.
Lloyd gave a single, slow nod. He probably heard that excuse a lot, from people who barely knew him yet still felt like he might be judging them for their lack of devotion to their elderly loved one.
"How's he doing?" Lincoln asked. "He need anything?"
"He's always asking for whiskey. He's not getting any from me, I assure you."
Which meant he might be getting it from someone else. Lincoln sniffed. Lloyd was telling the truth.
"Your brother and sister were here a few days ago," Lloyd said. "Your father seemed quite happy for a little while."
Jacoby was always happy to see Sophia and Lucas. Lincoln, not so much. Lincoln only paid the bills here, right? Lloyd glanced left, then right, as if double-checking no one was around.
"We really can't have you letting birds in here, Mr. Franks. It's a health code violation."
So much for getting away with letting Shitbird in last time. Lincoln leaned over the desk, put on his best glower.
"There was no bird," he said. "Get me?"
Lloyd's eyes widened.
"No bird, right. Maybe housekeeping planted those black feathers in the room."
"Probably."
Lincoln stood straight.
"And with what I'm paying you, if there was a bird, I expect you to look the other way. Got it?"
Lloyd nodded, faster this time. Lincoln headed for his father's room. Bach's Prelude in C minor softly drifted through the closed door. Lincoln pushed it open, shut the door behind him. Jacoby was in his twin bed, on his back, blankets pulled up neatly to his chest, his thin silver hair on the pillow behind his head. He looked older than Lincoln had ever seen. He looked frail. Time is the one monster that no one can slay. Lincoln thought of leaving, just letting Jacoby sleep. But no, Jacoby needed to know he was there. And besides, Shitbird wanted to see him. Lincoln opened the room's single window. The big crow shot in, back flapped hard. Lincoln saw a couple of pin feathers drift away and landed on Jacoby's chest.
"The greatest," Shitbird said. "The greatest."
Jacoby's eyes fluttered open. He smiled wide.
"Viachna, my old friend," he said. "Oh, how I have missed you."
"The greatest," the bird said.
Lincoln stepped to the bed, took his father's hand, and pressed a few oyster crackers into it. Jacoby looked at him with confused eyes.
"I figured you'd written me off," he said. "I don't see you for weeks, and all you bring me are some goddamn crackers."
They're for fiancha, Pops."
Shitbird's jet black beak moved within a centimeter of Jacoby's hand.
"Gimme, gimme, gimme," the crow said. "Gimme fucking crackers, gimme, gimme."
Jacoby made a fist, hiding the crackers away.
"That's no way for a familiar to talk," he said. "Say, please."
Shitbird sat up straight, head cocked at an angle.
"Please, please, 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 crackers, please, please, please."
Eyes sparkling, Jacoby opened his hand. As Shitbird ate the crackers, he scratched at the bird's wing.
"I thought you'd like to see him," Lincoln said.
The sparkle left the old man's eyes.
"That's something, at least," he said. "You know your brother and sister come to see me more than you do. They still love their father."
Lincoln sighed. "The same thing every time."
"I love you, Pops," he said. "I get here when I can."
Jacoby's nose wrinkled in a big sniff.
"I can smell the lie," he said. "Well, you lead your life. Nothing I can do about it. It's my fault you turned out this way."
Lincoln didn't know if that was the dementia speaking or if his father was really just a total asshole.
"Your brother unlike you and your sister, is taking up the family cause, Jacoby said. At least someone knows the real threat.
The real threat? Oh, for fuck's sake.
Dad, you're not spinning him up on that Mors Mundi crap again, are you?
Death of worlds! Death of worlds! Shitbird said. Hellfire and brimstone! Death of worlds!
Jacoby smiled at his former familiar.
See, son, even Theochna knows it's real. And no, I'm not spinning Lucas up. Lucas said the Claustus Secundo talked to him about Mors Mundi, wants him to dedicate his life to finding the Unweaver.
Jacoby didn't mention Juanita. Had Sophia and Lucas told Jacoby about her terminal condition? Probably not. Hopefully not. Juanita had been Jacoby's socius for 2 decades. He was probably tighter than her than he was with his own children, just as Lincoln was tighter with Magda than anyone else in existence, brother, sister, and father included. His brother, little Lucas. Was that British douche nozzle Basil dragging Lucas into that prophecy crap? Lincoln felt so damn tired. All his life, Jacoby had been obsessed with the Mors Mundi prophecy, obsessed with finding the Unweaver, the mage who would supposedly someday destroy first the Bastion, then release the Jirogumo race, which would, in turn, destroy all existence.
The Unweaver, Lincoln said. And Lucas buys into it? Sophia must love that.
Jacoby snorted.
She never believed. I always knew that. Neither did Lincoln. But you believe, Lucas. You can find the Unweaver and bring glory to the family name.
The old man's eyes were half-lidded. He was slipping away again. He thought Lincoln was Lucas. It was just so damn sad.
I'm Lincoln, Pops.
Jacoby blinked slowly, his mouth hung open. He looked at the big black crow sitting on his chest.
You can't have birds in here, Jacoby said. It's a health code violation.
Lincoln gently lifted Shitbird and walked to the window.
The greatest, Shitbird said.
And in those words, Lincoln heard that the crow was sad, too.
The greatest.
Go back to the church, Lincoln said. I'll see you soon.
He lightly tossed the crow outside, then closed the window. Lincoln turned back to his father. Jacoby was asleep, his hand at his chest, one small black feather clutched between his fingers.
I love you, Dad, Lincoln said.
He left the room, quietly shutting the door behind him.
Man, that sweatsuit is dope, Billy said. Uma knows how to use that sword.
Magda and Billy were on the couch in the nave, feet up on a new coffee table, watching Kill Bill Volume 1 on the brand new projection screen. It was bigger than the last one, and, another bonus, it wasn't spattered with the blood of the Rolling Outlaws.
And she got such a tight ass, Magda said. Would you believe my ass used to look like that?
The question made the poor boy instantly uncomfortable.
I don't really know. I mean...
Magda laughed. The sound surprised Billy almost as much as it surprised her. Magda tapped the spacebar in the new laptop, pausing the movie.
Relax, little B. I'm not going to send you to HR, Magda said. It's okay to have opinions about people's asses. But speaking of Uma and her tight ass, I could teach you how to use a sword.
Billy perked up just as Dragon's ears rose. They both looked at Magda. How insufferably cute. The two were starting to resemble each other, at least in mannerisms.
Really?
Billy said.
You could?
Sure. Link's better at it, though. He's better at all that hand-to-hand shit. But don't pick a sword just because they're in every damn movie and every damn book. There's lots of kick-ass weapons out there. You need to find something that suits you, that calls to you.
Billy nodded slowly. thinking. He hadn't picked a weapon specialty yet. He needed to, soon, so he could get trained up. If a battle went long enough, even the most powerful mages in the world eventually burned through their mesh. Billy needed to know how to fight and how to kill.
That reminds me, Magda said. You know how to use guns.
Billy looked back to the screen, at the freeze frame of Uma Thurman in her black-striped yellow sweatshirt.
Yeah, you point the little end and pull the trigger, right?
Ha ha, Magda said. Now that will get you reported to HR. I take it you don't know shit about guns, right?
Billy nodded.
We'll get started on that, too, Magda said.
She was about to start the movie when she heard the distant sound of the men's room door opening. Dragon took off like a shot, ripping through the knave's doggy door at top speed.
Link's home, Magda said.
I figured, Billy said. Let's wait for him to keep watching.
To be honest, Magda was surprised Billy hadn't also shot off the couch and run to see Link. Sure, Link had tried to kill Billy, but now the kid had an obvious case of hero worship for Link. Sometimes, anyways. Other times, Billy grew moody and introspective. Because, probably, Link had killed his friend, Joe. Billy was complicated. Hell, everyone in the old stone church was complicated. Dragon ripped through the doggy door and started running claw-scrabbling circles around the couch. Link came in a moment later, still in his armor and cloak.
Where the hell have you been? Magda asked. Ariel is about to shed her skirt waiting for you.
Link walked to the couch. Dragged to the couch was more like it. He looked whipped. He sat down heavily between them.
Sup, Link, Billy said. You okay?
Dragon sprang onto the back of the couch and started machine gun licking Link's ears, first one side, then the other, her little body vibrating with intensity. Lincoln didn't move. He hated it when Dragon licked him.
Tip top, he said. Never better.
Magda wanted to yell at him for the radio silence, but she couldn't muster the outrage. Her partner was hurting. Hurting bad.
I sold a fuck ton of t-shirts, she said.
His eyes snapped toward her.
Really?
Making that bank, son!
His glum visage broke. Not by much, but it did break.
That's great, Mags, he said. Way to go.
It wasn't all that much money, but Billy was right. She had brought it in, and that felt great. The click-clack of high heels filtered to the door before Ariella came in, like a storm clad in a skirt and a blouse.
There you are, she said. Where the fuck have you been, Stunod? I was worried you got yourself killed and we were out of business.
Lincoln didn't turn around to look at her, simply raised one gauntleted hand and extended his middle finger.
Real mature.
Ariella came around the couch, the open binder held in both hands.
Will you cretins get your goddamn feet off the goddamn furniture.
Cretins? Not a word you heard every day. Magda was impressed enough that she took her feet off the table without giving the woman any shit about it. Billy, of course, yanked his feet clear before she'd even finished her sentence.
Ariella, I'm tired, Lincoln said. I haven't had that much sleep.
Tough shit, Ariella said. New bounty just came in. I need you on it right now.
Slowly, intentionally, Lincoln first put one armored boot on the table, then crossed the other over it. Magda watched Ariella's face turn an angry shade of red.
I need sleep, Lincoln said. The bounty will have to wait. And don't I have another bodyguarding shift coming up soon?
Ariella dropped the binder in his lap.
Tomorrow is your next shift, she said. You bodyguard while Billy gets another training session. Before that, though,
she bent, tapped a red fingernail on the open binder page.
You need to go find the troglodyte in Tollingwood.
Tollingwood?
Billy leaned over to look at the binder.
Lumencia's Teawood? That's my old neighborhood.
Correct, Ariella said.
Go with Lincoln if you want, but Lincoln is going.
Magda looked at the sketch in the binder.
That was a trog, all right. She hadn't seen one in years. Reptilian, stocky, and packed with muscle, holding a stone axe. That signature dorsal fin that ran from the middle of the extended nose between the heavy eye ridges to the back of the head, like a mohawk made of spines and thin flesh.
Lizard-looking motherfucker, Billy said. I never saw him in the neighborhood. I'm pretty sure I'd remember it.
Link, I need you to go now, Ariella said, before someone else gets to him. He owes someone a lot of money. Bring back the money or his head in a box. But most important of all, she tapped the page again, the tip of her nail pressing down on a medallion hanging from a thin necklace around the scaly neck. Get me that. Her intensity cut through Link's indifference. He put one foot on the floor, then the other. He looked at the sketch.
Looks like a tough bastard, Link said. What's the medallion do?
Ariella stood straight. Her fingertips traced thick chunks on her turquoise necklace.
I can't tell you, she said.
Magda looked up at her.
Can't or won't? Is this like the ear cuff? Does that do something you don't want to tell Link about in case it won't work?
Ariella's cheeks puffed out as she let out a short huff of air. She nodded. Link looked at her, then at the sketch.
There's no location, he said. Just Tollingwood.
Ariella threw up her hands in exasperation.
Then find him, she said. Take Billy if you have to, but find him now.
Lincoln glanced at Magda, as if asking what she thought. The ear cuff was a game changer. Ariella had proven herself with that bauble. If she was this focused on the medallion, it must be something good. Magda nodded. Lincoln snapped the binder shut.
Good enough for me, he said. Billy, you want to come with? Got any idea how we might find this guy?
Billy grinned. For the first time Magda could recall, the young man looked confident.
I know someone we could ask, he said. I'm in.
You have been listening to Slay, created by Scott Sigler and Rob Otto, performed by Scott Sigler. Copyright 2024, Empty Set Entertainment. For more info on Scott Sigler, his novels, short stories, and podcasts, visit scottsigler.com. Theme music is the song They're Watching Me by the band Super Weapon.
Hello, dear stranger. I'd like to introduce you to something new, or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica, the Heresies of Radolf Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.